Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We think of you as a patriarch of a broadcasting family, but where did it come from for you? Did you listen to baseball broadcasts growing up? Tell me a voice from your youth that may have inspired you, if that's indeed true.
Well, I did. I was born and raised in Portsmouth, Virginia, which was certainly in the broadcast signal of the old Washington Senators and the Baltimore Orioles. And as bad as Washington was, and they were horrible, I would listen to them simply because I was interested in hearing the guys that did the games, never dreaming that years later I would become friends with Chuck Thompson, who was the voice of the Baltimore Orioles and, of course, the Baltimore Colts. He made the great call on that Allen Amici touchdown against the New York Giants back in the 50s in the NFL. I listened to them because it was magical for me. That was obviously a time when TV had really not exploded on the sports casting scene. And so this was our link to Major League Baseball. And I would listen to those two teams. And then later on, I really became a big fan of a fellow by the name of Bob Prince, who was the voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mm-hmm. He became a dear friend of mine in later years. But the guy that probably planted the seed that one day, and a seed that I never realized at the time, that I would one day get into this business. I was going down the radio dial, I guess, in 1955 or 56, and came across a broadcast of the Brooklyn Dodger game. I don't even remember who they were playing. They were playing at Ebbets Field. And the guy that was doing the play-by-play just was magical to me. The guy's name was Nat Albright. Was not Vin Scully. Was mm-hmm. not any of the names that you would expect. But Nat Albright, as I found out later, was recreating games, Dodger games, from a studio in Arlington, Virginia.
This is the old thing where they would use the Morse code or the teletype.
Yes,
and they
exactly.
would. Ronald Reagan did it in his youth, too.
That's right.
So it's imagine creating a ball game, an experience from whole cloth like that when it was nothing but data. Incredible.
That's exactly right. And it was magical because he had. You could hear the vendor in the background selling beer. soft drinks and hot dogs. You could hear the crack of the bat. You could hear the crowd noise. And I had no idea what a recreation was. I had no idea what that was. I was 12, 13 years old. And so I listened to him all the time. And I was never a Dodger fan, but I was so taken by him to the point where when I went into the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame in 2000, I found out that he was still alive and still living in Arlington, Virginia. And I found out where I could reach him. So I picked up the phone one day. Wow. This is before I went to Cooperstown in July of the summer of 2000. And I called him on the phone and I identified myself to him. And he knew who I was because he was a baseball fan and I'd been around for a long time. So he said, "What in the world are you calling me for?" I said, "Well, I gotta tell you that I would, if I ever went to my grave, not telling you what an impact you made on my life and subconsciously planting this seed to one day do what you were doing, although on doing it on not nearly as tough a level as you did it night in, night out over a period of years." And so I explained it to him, and he was so taken by it that he broke down and cried on the telephone, that he had such an impact on a person, in this case, me. And we had a nice chat, and I think he passed away, I don't know, 5 or 6 months later.
Wow.
But he was just something. I've got a picture hanging in my baseball room of Nat Albright recreating a Brooklyn Dodger ball game. And then I read in a book some years, a long time afterwards, that he had gotten permission from the O'Malley family to broadcast these Dodger games and broadcast them into the Southeast. And Walter O'Malley realized that this would be a form of advertising that you could not put a price tag on if enough people listened and became Dodger fans and made the trek to Brooklyn and Ebbets Field to see the Dodgers play. So that was the way it went for me. And then later years, after I got into in broadcast business, I was working at a 1,000-watt radio station in Salisbury, North Carolina, and I used to listen a lot to Milo Hamilton in the early days of the Atlanta Braves when they moved to Atlanta, and Milo was the first voice, along with a fellow by the name of Larry Munson. And then, of course, I got to know Milo extremely well in later years when he was with the Astros, and before that with the Cubs and the White Sox, etc.
Well,
selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, it's so much beautiful stuff in there. The gesture of you reaching out to Nat Albright is so beautiful. I'm sure that you have felt young baseball fans and young broadcasters who have reached out to you in your life. And in that way, you're part of a chain, you're part of a continuum, and there's kind of an immortality to the art, even as the world changes. Obviously, we can all connect to the visual of a baseball game so much, but baseball on the radio still carries a magic that it had for you, even if today's youth doesn't realize the magic. I contend that it's still there, part of the exchange, because of the uniqueness of the craft of doing play-by-play.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I think if there was if God ever deemed there would be one sport that would be more in tune and in step with radio than any other, it would be baseball. It was then, it is now. And it, you know what? It's going to be interesting now with a chaotic situation involving Valley Sports and bankruptcy and everything going on and where baseball on television is going. You always got rock solid radio where there's nothing that interrupts that. It may change from station to station, but it's always there for fans. It provides background noise in many cases for people fooling around at home. I know before social media came into existence, Joe and I used to get a lot of mail in September, the last season of a baseball game, from shut-ins and from over-the-road truck drivers. And the company that we provided for them, and how, especially from the shut-ins, who in many cases, we were their link to the outside world, and how sad and despondent they were that in 3 weeks or a day after tomorrow or whatever the case might be, the season would be over and they would no longer be able to look forward to turning on at night and listening to a Reds game.
There's a responsibility in that relationship for you, isn't there? When you know that you're a part of somebody's life in that way, you've got to be prepared, right? You've got to be solid at your job. I wonder if that motivated some of your habits throughout the decades.
I think so, especially coming to a town like Cincinnati. It always will be a baseball town. Maybe it's getting taken a hit right now because of a guy by the name of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals that have become a big time operator now after many years of being an also-ran. And thank God for them because of the fact they have Joe and that they put a good team around him. But, you know, I remember when I came, the first thing one of the officials of the Reds said to me was, there are neighborhoods in this town where you can walk down the street at night and you will never miss a pitch because everybody will have the Reds on radio. Probably less now because of how important television has become and virtually every game being on TV. But at the same time, there'll always be an audience for radio as far as baseball is concerned. And those dear souls that turn that radio on religiously and listen to us, I don't think we ever lost sight of, for one thing, if they don't like us, we're not going to be around long to begin with. And if they don't like your style, they don't like your approach, and they send enough letters or text messages today or emails or whatever the case might be to the ball club saying, get this guy off the air, we don't like him, then sooner or later, they're going to make a change and satisfy those people. So I never felt that my priority number one always was the people that turned the radio on at night.